Thanks. Oh, you can grab your chairs. Thanks. No, no. Grab your chairs. It's all.
I'm going to bow and kiss you.
Good morning, guys. Grab your chairs. I appreciate you honoring Jesus in me. I appreciate that. I know you're honoring Jesus in me because you wouldn't have never invited me down here if it wasn't for Jesus, except to maybe get me saved or minister to me. You might not have faith for that. No, you guys would have. What an emotional morning, huh? I'm like, the Christian life is emotional. I'm crying and stories of redemption, right? Man, listen, it's a Sunday. No, it's not a Sunday morning. You guys are different. You guys are different. You like that, didn't you? You guys are different. It's a Sunday gathering is what I mean. And there's so much edification here. There's a lot of reasons we gather. There's a corporate celebration of Him. There's an encouragement. I mean, honestly, if you come together, I don't know what happened to us along the way. And you might have come from this day where church just became somewhere where you go to be noticed, loved, hugged, appreciated, strengthened, and all that. And I don't know how we ever got trapped in that. No, love is a place, or church is a place you come to love and celebrate and be encouraged and look across the room and say, man, there's other people believing. There's other people in the race. It's always about what I can give and what I can offer and how I can bless and compliment. And somehow we got real needy and real needs driven because we failed to see along the way that God sent His Son to restore us back to what we were created to be. And he sent His Son to show us what life looks like. I understand it was only Jesus' blood that could save us and redeem us, but Jesus played another part in coming as a man and coming in the flesh. He had to come in the flesh. Let's just get this straight so you know where I'm going. He had to come in the flesh to fulfill what man failed. So He's the perfect sacrifice. That's why He didn't just appear as a man. He was born of a woman. So He didn't take a shortcut. He was the captain of our salvation. So He came and did everything as a man, anointed by God, and fulfilled what man failed. So literally, God defeated the enemy through a man empowered by the Spirit of God. You follow what I'm saying? But He did something else in coming because He said, follow me. Remember how He said, follow me? He did something else by coming. He modeled a life that we were created for. He actually showed us what life looks like in the Father. So life's not a mystery anymore. It's not each to his own. It's not an experiment. We're not trying to figure out what life's all about. We see what life's all about through the life of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, follow me. What He's saying is, this is who you're really created to be. This is why your feet are on the planet. This is why your heart's beating. Take a good look at my life and the expression of God through my life and come on and follow me. This is why you're here. Are you following me? So Jesus' life is amazing. He's not just our Savior, He's our model for life. He takes the question away. He showed, how many people have asked the question, what life's really all about? And you think, you know, you're here today, you're going tomorrow, everybody lives, but everybody's going to die. And who's ever went through that growing up through life at some point? You just thought about the real purpose of life and why you're here and where you really came from and what it's really all about and what's the real meaning of it all. Because you just feel like such a small little person in the midst of just, right? But yet you can't help but be conscious of you and conscious of how you feel and conscious of your needs. Are you guys relating to where I'm at right now? I mean, I'm just being real. This is, a lot of people have gone through this. You sit and you ponder these things. Well, see, the purpose of God is that Jesus answers all those questions. That you find yourself through Him. You find your identity through Him. You find your purpose and your meaning through Him. You follow what we're saying? So you know who you are now that you see Him clear. You understand your roots and your value and your destiny now that you see Him clear. It's very important that you understand that God sent Him because He loves us, not because He's mad at us. Because if you see Him, then you're judged by Him if you don't understand the heart of God. And when you see Him, all you are is conscious of your sin. See, Peter didn't have the revelation. And when he cast the net over the side of the boat after fishing all night, not catching nothing, Jesus said, hey, how about trying this side? And he pulls it up and there's all these 153 large fish. He looks and says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. So the holiness and purity of God standing there, and the wisdom of God and the connection of God, because Peter was separated from God, all Peter could do in that moment was feel very aware of what he wasn't and what he was. But that's not the goal of the gospel now that Christ has come. He's entered us in. He's filled us with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. There's something I want to talk to you about this morning during worship that really came in my heart strong. And I know, Pastor David and Tracy leaned over and said Papa yesterday to me. And I know Pastor David said, I feel like you've helped to be a father to this house, etc. And I hear that, and I thank God for that, and I'm honored by that in that sense that he feels that way. That's never been my goal. I don't think that way. But I'm honestly going to tell you, I feel that way this morning. I feel like the message that's in my heart, we're just gonna have a family talk. And we're just going to talk, because here's why we're here today, to stir one another in love and good works. We're not here to do our duty to God. We're not here just to be encouraged in our own selves. We're not here just to be loved by somebody or prayed for by somebody. The real Bible reason we're here is to stir one another in love and good works so that our life keeps being lived effectively. So you never turn inward and word and make this just about you. So you never get trapped just thinking this is about what God can do for you. This is about how God can transform you and make you more like him so he can flow through you and you can touch your sphere of influence more effectively and leave a deposit into the hearts of men. Are you guys following me? Come on. That sure beats having issues and getting beat down. Just sounds better. You know, we're quick to say, well, yeah, but brother, you don't know what I'm going through. Maybe that's not the focus. Maybe what he went through is the focus. Maybe it's not about what you're going through. Maybe it's about what he went through. Maybe that's where you find the real you. And until you look there, you might just think for yourself and never understand the truth. Now, I didn't say that to everybody in the room. I just said that to somebody in the room. Listen, this is important. We've got to get this. Go to Hebrews real quick. I want to preach something. It burned in my heart during worship. This came in my heart, and it's rare God does this to me. I enjoy the journey. I like getting up and not having a clue where I'm going, just opening my mouth. Because then I'm on a journey with you. It's fun for me. And it comes a lot, and it's there. And somebody says, what did you just say? Can you repeat that? And I'm thinking, no, probably not. Because it's just... This is spontaneous. It's a moment. Here's why I do that, because the Lord told me to. It's not a higher anointing than someone that studies and has notes. Let's stop thinking that somebody that has notes is less anointed. No, my pastor preaches from notes, very anointed. He hears from God. He hears for the people. He hears ahead of time. It's a word of wisdom. And he gets with God, and he's real prepared, and he covers all these bases. That's not the grace that God has on me. That's the grace of God on me. Where we make an error is we make one more spiritual than the other, or one more anointed than another. And it's not. It's the commission on my life. I was 3 days old in the Lord, and the Lord talked to me in English. It was amazing. I was overwhelmed at work. He was talking to me, and I was like, overwhelmed. I was like, this is God. I was overwhelmed. I was like, because 3 days before, he made himself known to me, and he was real, and I was freaked out. I think I pulled my hair. I ran in circles and went, I did. I jumped around and went, oh my God, you're real. I was like, you're real. You know, Mama took me to church all the time, and we talked about you, and I said I believed in you, but, you're real! It changes things when he's real. Because God reality will transform your life. What's lacking in folks is God reality. They hang in the right places, but they don't hang enough with him. They sing enough songs, but they don't spend enough time with him. They think about a lot of things, but they ain't with him. You got to get with him. See, because knowing Him will transform your life. Because you're never alone. Knowing Him. We're not here to learn about Him. We're introduced to Him. We're here to know Him. God reality changes everything. Knowing Him transforms you. I'm telling you, it's what's wrong with me every time you see me. I've been privileged to know him some. Just some. It's just such a small sum. I'm going to know Him more, Tracy. I'm going to know Him more, just like you're knowing Him more. Because I see Him in you every time I see you. I really love you. And I respect you. I love you, girl. You got a good girl. And she has a genuine heart for Him and a genuine heart for people. And God respects that and likes that. And He shows me that every time I get around her. And I just really like Miss Tracy. I do. I do. Okay. God reality will change your life. God reality. I was 3 days old in the Lord. And He was talking to me in English, so I'm overwhelmed. I was still freaked out from 3 days before because God's real. And now He's talking to me. And you don't tell a lot of folks that stuff. And He said, Dan, He said, I'm going to put revelations of My love and righteousness inside of you. And He said, you're going to speak to many of My people. And I'm 3 days old. Now, He told me that and didn't send me on a tangent. You know, I'm going to preach. I'm going to have a pulpit. I'm going to be a minister. I'm going to have a ministry. That isn't what He was saying. It was so humbling and so honoring that God would give me anything, that He would talk to me and give me understanding, that He picked me seemingly out of a crowd, to me it seemed, and was going to speak to me and give me revelations of His love and righteousness and let me impart that to many of His people. I heard that 3 days old in the Lord. Now, I've never pursued that. When I was asked to pastor, I said no 3 times. When I was told I was going to travel, I laughed at the man that told me that. You know, Sarah laughed too, but she still got pregnant. So, oops, I've been with the Lord. What happened to you? I've been with Him. I don't know what's wrong with me today because I'm really serious inside. It's because this message is going to be straight and cutting, and He doesn't want you to hurt through it. So He's going to get you silly and put you under anesthesia so we can start cutting. So we can start cutting here in a minute. So we're going to cut here in a minute, and you won't even know you've been circumcised. Going to be blood all over the room. You won't even see it. I can tell what's happening. I've done this before. He said, I'm giving you revelations of My love and righteousness. He said, you're going to speak to many of My people. He said, however, I don't ever. Now, this was His word to me, not you. He said, I want you to ever to read your Bible to preach a sermon. You know, anybody can read their Bible to preach a sermon. He said, I only ever want you to read your Bible to know Me. And I only ever want you to speak out of who I am in your life. And I said, okay. And I've been faithful to do that for 19 years. I have a very different story. I'm not boasting on me. I'm boasting on the possibilities of God in us when we yield, surrender, and make Him matter more than anything. I'm talking Him matter more than what people say, what had happened last year, what had happened 5 years ago. We need so much prayer and ministry, everything that happened, because we think we have to be a basket case because of that stuff. I'm telling you, getting to know Him fixes everything because it pulls you out of the lie into the light. And when you're in the light, you see clear. Some of us are trying to see clear without being in the light. That's why it's a foggy picture. That's real good. Thanks, man. You just underemphasized a little bit. It was real good. Joseph, I love you. Now listen. He said, I only ever want you to speak out of who I am in your life. Do you understand that when you do that, there's an authority on what you say? There's a higher anointing, each seed producing after its own kind. If I'm preaching out a revelation, then it has the power to open up the heart and illuminate the understanding of the hearer. If I'm just preaching because I heard another preacher say it, I'm trying to feel like somebody in the moment, and I got something to say when I really don't. That's probably not going to have the impact. It's just limping you along in the moment. Come on, we have no need to just preach Jesus. We have a need to become more like Him, yeah. Be one with Him so that He's in us, living through us. Come on, we have no need to have a microphone and be in the limelight. You say, well, you have a microphone. I didn't ask for this microphone. Ever one time in my life did I ask for ministry. I have never asked anyone to let me preach. I've never asked. I was 4 months old and the Lord asked to serve in the altar ministry. I was 6 months old and the Lord asked to teach a class in our church. I was 9 months old and the Lord asked to guest minister in several churches starting at 9 months in the Lord. 2.5 years old in the Lord, 2 years old in the Lord, they asked me to pastor. And I said, no. I said, I'm a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. Some of us would jump on that thing because we find our identity through how God's using us instead of who He's causing us to become. You don't need to be used by God to find your identity. You find your identity in that He loves you and paid an eternal price for you. You guys follow me? I want you to understand something, that God doesn't want us to just know all about His doctrine and His dictates and His commandments and His precepts. He wants us to know Him. And He wants us to realize He knows us and He loves us. Whoa. You understand, there's a union He's looking for. There's a communion. There's a co-union. And it's not your ministry or your ministering that'll ever define you. It's being with Him that defines you. Mark 3 says that God called to the mountain those that He wanted when He blessed the disciples. But what's the Bible say? No man comes to God unless he's drawn. So if God's drawing you, He must want you. No man comes to Him unless he's drawn. So if you have any inkling of a desire towards God, He must be drawing your heart. So He must be saying, I want.
Right?
He called them to the mountain whom He Himself wanted. And He ordained them. The word is ordained. Some translations say appointed. Same word. He appointed them, ordained them. Ordination, brother. I want ordination. Guess what He ordained them to be? To be with Him. He appointed them. You can look at it. It's Mark 3, chapter 3, verse 13. You can check it out if you want. I'm going to Hebrews, but we can catch up here in a minute. I don't know. And He went up on a mountain and called to Him those He Himself wanted. That's personal. And guess what they did? They came. Good idea. How many were called and you kept running? How many were called and ignored? How many were called? How many did God woo and you just put Him on hold? How about that little drama skit? Man, didn't they do great up there? Yeah. Stuff makes you just cry. Isn't that awesome? Seriously. Remember how Joe Cool comes out there? And she's like, and he's like, no, come here. She got her eyes on Joe Cool, man. And she's like, I'll just put you on hold for a little, Jesus. I'll just be back here later. Who's ever done that stuff, man? But He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't stop loving. You know what He does? He doesn't get hurt like people get hurt because He's not fallen. People were fallen. He's love. He never stopped becoming or being loved. People stop being loved. See, if you're made in God's image in the beginning, then man was made to love, not need love. The only reason we need love is because we got cut off from love when man sinned and got cut off and severed from union with God. So since God is the source of love and man's cut off from love, he's probably bankrupt where love's concerned. So instead of being love, he's in need of love. So ever since that day, man was born into Adam, and you must be born. How we turned that into a prayer to go to heaven, I have never figured out. It's a restoration back to love, back to image, back to purpose, back to destiny. The cross brings you back to the beginning, as if sin never was. Fills you once again with His life, His nature, His heart, His spirit. And then sends you into the world to let your light so shine before men so they see your life and go, wow, there's a God. That sure beats having issues and being offended. That sure beats making it all about you and just praying because you're hurt and sorrowful. I'm not being insensitive, I'm just being real, because if you don't get your eyes off of you, you're still going to stay on that roller coaster and it ain't a good ride. I know not everything's working the way we wish, but why do we have to let those things define us instead of the one that lives in us? Amen. Why do our circumstances have a louder voice than the Spirit of God and truth through the cross and resurrection of the Son of God? Come on. I'm gonna. Are you guys with me here? I just want you to catch up to speed in case you weren't here yesterday, but the gospel is all about restoring everything. Redemption, redemption house. Redemption means brought back or bought back to the original value. If you bought a $30 sweater, got home and found a flaw in it and took it back, you got it redeemed for the price you pay. And if they tried to give you $25, some of you will find out how much you know Jesus. Just saying. Come on, it's easy to go to church. You're not called to go to church. You're called to be the church. You're called to gather yourselves together and stir one another in love and good works and let your life be a continual outflow. So if God made man in his image and God... Man cut himself off from God through sin, and man got bankrupt and became in need of love. And then every man was born into Adam, and then every one of us were born into that rat race. No wonder we were insecure and looking for identity and wanted to be in and not out, accepted and not rejected. No wonder we hurt so bad because we didn't even know who we were, and all these things were suggesting something about us that didn't seem good. I mean, from the time you remember him laughing in grade school at the lunch table and two other kids chimed in and laughed, and you just felt terrible and horrible. And you either, one of two things happen. You either become hard and a fighter, or you get crushed and introvert. Come on, it's happened to everybody in this room. Trying to find yourself along the way. Trying to find love and acceptance. Trying to find value and honor. Trying to find reputation. You know the mind that was in Christ in Philippians 2? He made himself of no reputation. Do you hear the perversion? We've been seeking reputation from the time we can remember. That's what's destroying things. Needing to be somebody apart from him.
Wow.
It's perversion. It's the way of the world. It's the wisdom of the world. It's just human. It's apart from him. Come on. Think with me. Have the same mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Even though he was the Son of God, didn't consider it something to be honored and acknowledged for. Instead, he made himself of no reputation, humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then he tells us, you therefore, to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, because it's God working in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. Do all things, not some things, all things, without grumbling, without complaining. Why? So you're seen as innocent and harmless in the sight of the world, and you're shining as a light, holding forth the word of life. That's Philippians 2. It's pretty awesome, huh? Phew. That sure beats having issues and being offended. For some reason, it seems easy to be offended, but it's so costly. For some reason, it seems so hard to not be offended, but it's so profitable. Here's the biggest challenge. Just stop and thinking for yourself. Start thinking for the kingdom and think for others. And you get alone in prayer and you talk to Jesus like that and you tell him you're serious. God, I've been trying to find my identity through things, through ministry, through people, through relationships. And the truth is, I'm complete in you. I'm fulfilled in you. When the Bible says, if you know the love of Christ, it's to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, how do you even teach that? The fullness of God. If you know the love of Christ, it's to be filled with all the fullness of God. You're probably not insecure or incomplete in that place. I looked up the word. The best I could come up with is it means a house with no empty room. To know the love of Christ makes you a house with no empty rooms. That means there's no vacancy in you. There's no place to occupy. You're already fulfilled. There's no vacancy. You're not for sale. Yeah. To know the love of Christ. A house with no empty rooms. You know what else it means? A town with no empty houses. Get the picture? It means a ship completely full of cargo with no space to put another box. The fullness of God. Where's fullness come from? To know the love of a relationship, to know the love of a woman, the love of a man, the love of a pastor, the love of a father, the love of a mother. Why do we look to those things and make them matter more than what matters most? To know the love of Christ. Because here's what's in the love of Christ, not the love of your parents. I'm not against you being loved by your parents, but it breaks my heart that we make that a necessity over Him. We make it a prerequisite. We make it have to matter. And then people have to minister to us to get us through the pain it brings. And all it is wrong believing from the beginning. Am I telling the truth? It's not that I'm against the ministry that has to do that. I'm saying let's stop believing lies. And I understand it happens to folks. Some of us have been in the church long enough and we're still letting that matter. If you're not careful, it'll become an excuse. It'll become something. It just assures that tomorrow's yesterday and that's not cool. Okay? Now listen, to know the love of Christ. Let me tell you why that matters most. Because you find your true, healthy identity through the cross. You find the real you when you understand why He came and why God sent His Son. If you ask the average Christian in the country of America why God sent His Son, they will say to forgive us our sins and take us to heaven. And that's not even the point. The point is to forgive your sins and get heaven in you so heaven's on the earth and His name is made known to the nations. The point isn't your great escape. The point is in eternal security. It's restoration back to the Father and introduction back into the family in which you were created to live in. Buy the tape. I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun. Are you guys all right? Okay. He called those who He Himself wanted, and they please come to Him. And when I say that, I don't mean come to a service. Keep coming to a service because this is where we stay sharp and stir one another in love and good work. And when you come, learn this. Man, learn this. And I think you guys have a real good grip on this, but the service starts when you get here. Because love is always on. Don't wait to be loved. You be a lover. Don't you come and sit in the far corner to see if anybody comes to you. You're just tempting the atmosphere and setting yourself up to be more hurt and more deceived. You come in and you go look for somebody and you hug them and you tell them it's good to see you and is there any way I can bless you and pray for you, man? I'm glad you're here today. Because if you start playing that other thing, you're treading some thin ice. And you're just setting people up to fail and disappoint you once again. And then you'll start believing this stuff. Well, nobody really cares. Nobody really loves that church. I mean, they all sing in love, but nobody came to me. I sat in the corner. It ain't a loving church. I'm saying it should have been loving. You were there. Come on. See, the trouble is you're coming to be loved instead of being loved. And it's counterproductive. It's a perversion of your created identity. Because watch this, if you know the love of Christ, you're complete and filled. You're not even in your marriage to be loved by your spouse. You're in your marriage because you love and you're willing to lay down your life. Because if you're in your marriage to be loved by your spouse, they're probably going to disappoint you. And you're probably going to say, I love you tonight, and tomorrow morning you ain't going to be so cool. And us guys, we always make sure it's cool towards night. Why? Because we're in it for us a lot of times, and we need to get a grip on that. I might go there, David. I just might set your pastor straight today. I'm waiting until she comes back. We We're going to set you free, straight, and set her free. I'm off of this now. Go to Hebrew. No, wait. We didn't finish Mark 3. I'm all ahead of myself. They came to him, and look what he appointed them. He appointed 12 that they... That's ordination. Whose Bible says ordination? He ordained, ordained. I think it's the original King James says ordained. Does anybody have... What translation says ordained? Somebody have one that says ordained? Ordained? What's your translation? It's King James. Yeah, it's the original King James. That's people. Some people say that's the only Bible. Watch this. Ordained is in the King James. That ought to carry some weight. Come on. Watch. And he ordained them. My Bible says appointed them. You say, what's your translation? New King James. Just takes out the thouts and shouts and will be thouts. Because I don't talk like that. And I have a hard time following that. It just says you instead of thouest. Okay? So don't get heavy and religious on me over that stuff. I have the new King James. We're in a new covenant. It just seemed right. It's all things are new. So I just thought I'd get a new King James. I got a new Dan Moeller. I might as well get a new King James. I'm sorry. I'm done having fun with you. Well, maybe not, but... He ordained them, he appointed them, watch, that they might be, what's first on the list? That they might be with him. Do you know what he's saying to them? You know what he's saying to us? Look, the reason I'm calling you and drawing you is because I want to be with you. Man, I understand the healing and the signs and wonders and the preaching. And I understand the miracles and all the stuff that's possible. But let me get something straight. The reason I'm drawing you is because I want to be with you. The reason I'm drawing you is because I want to be one with you. And I want to know you and I want you to know me. So I'm making myself available. Would you come to me? I want to be with you. Is that first on the list? That they might be? Or did it say that they might serve him or do good things for him? Because if you let your identity rest in that, then you're going to get failed again. Because if people don't appreciate you, you wonder if you're even doing good enough. And you wonder if God's pleased. And you'll do even extra. And it's all in insecurity, just trying to find favor when you already have it. He loves you. Come on. Come on, I'm just talking straight. And it's a rat race, man. And if you have that mentality in theology, you're never at peace. You're never at rest. You're always wondering if you're a step behind. You're already accepted in the Beloved. He doesn't want your obligatory service. He wants your relationship. He wants love. He's a family guy. He's a father. The word father means come forth from. Every time you call him father, you're saying, I came forth from him. You're my heritage. You're my root. You're the reason for my being. Right. God means source of life. Every time you call him Father God, I heard the young lady singing up there. She was says, Father God, and she was started to pray in the middle of our singing. She says, Father God, Father God. I hear the church say Father God a lot. It's awesome. You know what you're saying? Every time you call God your Father God, you're saying, I came forth from the source of life. That sure beats, my dad was drinking and mom was looking good and she got pregnant. Because that's how I was conceived. My mom was beautiful and my dad was alcoholic. And I just know what happened, man. He came home from the bar and said, hey, girl. She said, what? And here I am. It sure don't sound spiritual.
You can say, well, they wasn't even married. That was fornication. That was an unholy conception. And you ain't even blessed. You're cursed. You were born in fornication. No, I was born again.
Look, life comes from God. So if there's 500 million sperm cells racing to mom's egg and it was me, that's pretty personal. They all swimming like crazy trying to get to the egg. They got to get in there. That's their instinctive duty, man. As soon as they're released through the man, them boys are swimming. It's the gun in the Olympic race, and they're setting record to the egg. They're going. It's science. You had this stuff in school. Look. Come on, I'm in a church, I can talk like this. There's an ejaculation, there's 500 million sperm cells going somewhere. All they know is egg, get there, the first one in wins. And they just, they ain't even breathing, man, they just going. Because if they don't win, they're going somewhere. Are we okay? Hey, I think about this stuff. You know why? Because God gave me the vision. God gave me the vision in worship. I was in worship, and I was in my bedroom praying and talking to Him about my creative value, and all of a sudden I saw all these squigglies racing. They were little round. They looked like balloons with strings. And I'm in worship, and I went... And all of a sudden, I realized they were sperm cells in a womb, in a birth canal. They were going up there. And God has the ability to do this in a vision. I knew that was my mother, and I knew that was my dad was responsible for that. And watch, I got this picture. I know it sounds hilarious, but it really ministered to me. Because people say, well, my life's a mistake. Well, I shouldn't have been born. Who in this room, be honest, whoever contemplated that and actually believed for a season your life was a mistake, that you should have never been born, that you had no reason to be alive, that you wish you weren't, that you couldn't have been. God couldn't. Come on, there's a time to be. And on that day, when I was conceived, guess what? It was my time. And ain't nothing nobody can do about it. Nobody can stop that. It was my time. And I got this vision, and it looked like a whole school of them. They were just... And they were racing to this big, round, white thing. It looked like a golf ball to me. And I said, okay. And God said, that's the sperm cells racing to the egg of your mother on the day you were conceived. And this is exactly how it happened. In an instant, they all blew by, and they're all racing in a herd, you know, or school. And all of a sudden in the picture, here I came in a little life raft. And I was backstroking with one hand holding an iced tea with sunglasses. That's exactly what I saw. And I was just like... And when I got up there, they had little safety goggles on. And they had drills and saws and jackhammers. These little squigglies. It was kind of like VeggieTales. The cucumber, he's boxing. What's the gloves hooked to, you know? And they're like... And their little saws were bent. And their drills were smoking. They can't get in the egg. And I go up there... Right? And when I get up there, they just split like the Red Sea. And this big white ball was there, and they just split. And I went, I jumped a little springy, like a spring, the squiggly, went, doing, pop, right into the egg. And outside, I could hear them all frustrated, you know, goggles all messed up, sweated up, the drills were bent. And they're like, how'd he do that? How'd he just get in that egg? How could he get in that egg like that? And I could hear him. And inside the egg, I heard this voice yell real loud. Because it was me before the foundation of the world. I was predestined before time. He saw me before I was seen. There's a time to be born. And today is my day. Yeah! I got that vision in prayer. You say, I don't believe that, brother. That's a problem in the church, unbelief. Am I messing up today or what? Are we okay? Are we free? You guys always say you're free. I figured I'd bring it. You always say you're free when I come down here. Hebrews 6, real quick, please. Now listen, this is the real serious part. Now we're going to get some surgery, okay? Seriously, you ready for surgery? Come on, want it. Say, yeah, God, I want you to align me. I'm not talking condemnation. I'm talking adjustment and growth and maturity and manifesting him more. I want that. So if you don't want that, I'll take that. Okay? There's a guy that gave up his talent and it fell on the lap of somebody else. But do you want that? Do you want God to father you? Come on, do you want God to come and say, hey, if you'd really adjust and do it this way, you'll see so much more productivity. If you stop thinking this, you'll be... Don't you want God to do that in your life? That could be simply chastisement. Chastisement is adjusting, correcting, disciplining in a way. You know, we think it's putting sickness on us. That's crazy. He took sickness off by putting it on his son. He doesn't subcontract the devil. He defeated him. He doesn't subcontract. We say this thing. We were just talking about on the way down. My friend and I, Keith, he's here, by the way, a friend of mine from all the way from Kauai. He's visiting, and he just come down here with me. And he was glad to come here. He didn't know where I was going this weekend. He just wanted to hang out because he's in town, spend some time with me because he loves me. And there was a time in his life he wasn't doing well like all of us. There was a time that drugs had him consumed, that he was living things that you don't want to repeat. God, all in the middle of it, was wooing and sending signals, speaking, and people praying and popping up in the midst, drawing him to himself, him who he wanted. God wanted him. And when you're living that way, you think, why would he want me? Because he knows you're more than that, and that ain't you, and you have greater potential. You just don't see, but he does. So you get so low, and you've messed up so much, and you've done so much wrong, that you start rationalizing, saying, it's too late for me. Why would God care now? He has to be disappointed. Why? Because you're used to people being disappointed. So you think God's like men. No, God wants to make men like him. We make God like men. So in the middle of the deepest of the darkest of the season for him, God was still, hey, here, love you. God saved him. This is an amazing story. Amazing story. I'm proud of Keith. When I first met Keith, Keith was cynical because he was hurt. And he was asking me questions and stuff. And in time, he saw I was real and only had one answer. And I didn't get bothered by sometimes wrong motive in his question. Because he was tested. Weren't you?
A little bit.
A lot. But it doesn't feel like a test because I love people. So I'm not like, oh, here it's this guy again. I got to get past him. I got to endure him. Okay, I got to answer his question. No, it's a guy that doesn't understand, and deep down in, if you really listen, he's crying out. And God so loved Keith Mitzel that he gave his only son. You don't think I can give him time, patience, understanding? And I watched God do an amazing work in his life. A lot of people are glad that he did. He doesn't know I'm going to say this. I hope he's okay with this. But just a few months ago, him and his son were in a car together, and they got hit head on, and his son was instantly killed. The relationship had just gotten restored. He finally had a healthy God relationship. And all of a sudden, his son instantly killed him. Now, if you met Keith today and talked to him at all, you would never be able to tell that. Something about giving your whole life to God that nothing can feel what you understand. We live for the well-being of the gifts God gave. We should live for manifesting him in the face of God. God never gave you a gift at the cost of who he is. God gave you the gift in light of him, so that you steward the gift in him. The gift being a spouse, children, whoever. That stuff happens to some people. We have enough psychology to wrap around that, to keep that thing, their story for the rest of their Christian days, and them to just barely get by. If they get by. There's a way to see and understand, even though there's physical loss, and even though you can cry at times,
you didn't slow down a bit. In fact, you realize this thing is more real than ever before, that it's a war, life is short, things are fragile, so let's make the most of every moment because we're living for a legacy. We're not living to be sad. We're not living to be regretful. We're living for His glory. So in the biggest trial and trauma of his life, I watched Keith not even buckle. I watched him just be all the things that God's taught him. Does it mean he doesn't miss his son? Of course not. But it means he sees we can never lose now that Christ came. We already won, because if there was no bloodshed and no resurrection, when that vehicle's hit, it's over. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he assured it's never over. And if the just really live by faith, then I guess we have the strength to go through, because life now is important. And we're going to leave a legacy, and there's people in front of us, and it's time to manifest Him. And in that day, we'll realize it's all okay. You guys following me? Sorry, I just felt right. Okay? Good. I thought, I really respect you. Don't give up on people. You don't judge people. There was a time in my life, if I didn't understand what I preached to you every time I come down here, I wouldn't have gave my heart to Keith. I maybe would have avoided him. I might not even called him back. I might have said to my wife, I don't know why this guy keeps calling me. All he does is test me. He's not even serious about the Lord. He just wants to challenge me. Rather than be a little more mature and deeper and discerning. I'd be glad to call him back. He was telling me a story how he called me one time just to kind of, you know, and there was a lady and I got talking more than he wanted me to. And he says, how's things going? So I started telling him. Remember the pool cord doll?
Yeah.
And he just told me, he said, man, I was on the phone. I'm like, oh, no, now I got him rattled here. Now I got his lid open. And he just, wah, 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 wah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he said, well, here, I have a friend of mine here. And he handed the phone to the friend. And while I was talking to the friend, I got a word of knowledge about their back. And they said, yeah. I said, hand the phone back to Keith. I said, Keith, I want you to pray. So he prays for the lady, and the lady got healed. Oops. Oops. Isn't that awesome? He called me with a little different motive. And God flowed through him because he's amazing. And he loves him. And he draws him because he wants him. And he loves Dottie because He created her in His image, and He loves me. I already got that settled. Did you get it? Hebrews 6, are you there? You've all been waiting. Now listen, here's what I want you to get, okay? I'll be quick with this. I'm not going to be too terrible long anymore. I don't know. We just had fun and talked about it. I already said enough. We could just be encouraged and go, probably. But this is what I'm preaching right now is what came in my heart during worship. So please, pay attention and listen. Give me your whole heart, okay? I know we have mentors and proteges. I know we're being discipled. I know we hear those terms. I know we're following. I understand that. I understand we have leaders and people that are coming up under leadership. I understand all that. But everyone in this room is a leader in the realm of the light that's in you. Leadership equals the ability to influence. The day you get born again, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead comes inside of you. And you instantly become a leader in the realm of life because light's in you and it's no longer dark. I've learned this. This isn't deep in rocket science, but I've learned this. Light is greater than darkness. Now, I know we laugh at that, but we don't all know that because some of us focus on darkness, dread darkness, fear darkness, talk about darkness, and light is greater. Nobody ever walked into a bright room and said, dude, would somebody please turn up the darkness? If the room got dimmer, it's because someone turned down. So arise, shine, church. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the light,
yep.
It's on you.
That's Old Testament. You want New Testament? Let your light so shine before men so they see something in you and glorify the Father. You get it? So every one of you is a leader in the realm of the light that's in you. The day you get saved, the light turns on. Yeah? Man. So don't just see yourself as a follower. Don't just see yourself as needy. Don't just see yourself as a ministry, meaning needing ministry. As much as God is working you through things, I want you, Pastor David said it real strong in the beginning when he was talking about all this drama that's going on. He's passionate. He said, come on, guys, let's stop just thinking about our stuff and getting through and working out all this little stuff. It's time that we be influential and be an impact. And I'm thinking, hey, you're preaching what's on my heart. This is awesome. You set me up. He's just ready to pass the baton and say, hey, Dan, come up here. And I was like, this is awesome. Because the man of God is saying that. You're hearing that stuff here a lot. It's here. It's solid when I'm here. The stuff you guys are solid. But this is the point. When I keep saying deny yourself, and you were never made for you, you were made for His image. So that's why you deny yourself first. And we always talk about deny yourself. I want to share another aspect of denying yourself that's going to be very sobering and very awesome to impart, because it's just going to create more humility in us and I think empower us to stay sober in what this deny ourselves really means. Okay, you guys ready? Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same. He's talking about the diligence of the people that, let's just read 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Do you hear He's talking like a family? He sounds like He believes we're one, that we're sincere, that we're in this for a common cause. When He's writing, He's assuming that. He's believing we understand. Is that fair? Man, we're in this together, guys. This isn't about you getting hurt. This isn't about you having other desires and saying, well, I think it should be this way. Well, I think it should be that way. Well, I think I'm going to find another church. Don't do yourself that injustice and take that misery to another church. Deal with yourself and get right with God. Don't do it. Don't put that on people. The worst thing you can do is get hurt in a church and go to another one. You're a lot heavier when you get there because you're carrying all that stuff. And you're not going to even be you. You're going to be a product of what you ran from. Watch this. Now this is going to be a little testy. I really have intimacy and relationship with Him, and I'm really knowing Him. God, reality is burning in my heart. My conscience can't even allow me to do that if He's the priority in my desire and my love. Because when that stuff starts trying to move me, something's going to interfere called intimacy and relationship and the voice of my conscience or the voice of my God, and something's going to deal with my heart. It honestly can. I'm talking to the church right now, okay? Make that clear. I'm talking to the church right now. People that have been saved. It concerns me that we can live in certain states for long periods of time without conviction, without change, and stop it. It concerns me. I'm not talking about slipping into a sexual blunder. I'm talking about continuing in a sexual thing. It concerns me you can't possibly be making this the priority of your heart. Because in knowing Him, it cuts you off from that stuff. I'm not talking about a mistake and vulnerability. I'm not saying anything judgmental right now. What I'm saying is, man, call your heart accountable, because what are you pursuing more? Fulfilling needs and desires or knowing Him? Because I've learned I'm never alone. And I've learned God reality saves me and changes me. I've learned that the things that I had the capacity to do before I knew Him the way I know Him have somewhere disappeared. And I am a different man than I used to be. The things that seem desirable don't even have a voice. The things that tempted me aren't even there. You follow me? Do you know why? Because I have a higher desire. I'm in love. It's not because I'm a good Christian. I'm in love. I know him. And he says, if you love me, you'll do the things I do. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll do the things I do. He said, if you love me, then the things I do will just flow because you love me. Did you get it? That's why I tell people everywhere I go, I said, you're not going to read about me in the newspaper tomorrow. There's not going to be any secret exposed. You're going to find Dan slept with somebody. It's not happening. You say, that's presumptuous. You shouldn't speak that way, you know, higher than... I'm not. I'm speaking the truth of my relationship and my love. That thing's not even in my heart. So it ain't going to happen. I wonder if we're so afraid to get there that we think the other, and because the tree's not clear, we keep falling into the same old rut.
Oh.
Wonder if we're so afraid to talk like I'm talking that we keep ourselves in a place we're not called to, and no wonder these things keep happening because we see ourselves as capable. Wonder if you make the tree good and the fruit's good. What if you get alone with God and you ain't trying to impress nobody? You're just alone with God and there ain't nobody listening and you don't have a microphone on and you're just alone with God and you thank Him that you're free and sanctified and fulfilled and you don't need no gratification of the flesh and you don't need no cheap fix and you don't need no this and that and God, you're my all in all and thank you that my life does justice and gives you testimony and honor God. Thank you for the joy of the cross. Wonder if that's you and Him and you got this thing going on. Rather than this thing going on. And then you start talking like this and people can hardly be relating to it because they're so used to human error and human weakness. And we're so quick to say, what, are you perfect? I ain't even talking about perfection. I'm talking about purity of heart. But you'd be amazed how purity of your heart can lead you to a place that you probably didn't think was possible. Because the Christian life is supernatural. And if you're led by the Spirit, I bet that's a fun adventure. I bet you're stepping into places the human flesh could never arrive to. I bet you're walking in a place you could never go alone. I bet you if you're really living by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the... And then you want to bring that, well, are you perfect on me? That's just flesh, remain in flesh. That is a lie. We need to get that thing out of the church and stop thinking perfection. And let's start letting grace take us where it desires. Let's start letting Holy Spirit fashion us and literally be His workmanship created in Christ Jesus so He can take the tarp off of you and go, ta-da! Come on! Listen, you can relate to how men are and how people are and how we've all been. But I want to relate to the plan He has for me and what He's accomplished through His Son. And here's what I've learned through the gospel. It's what I'm preaching to you right now. My life matters to God and the people around me. And if I've died to myself, then my life matters. My attitudes, my words, my testimony. I don't even have permission to have issues, to gripe, to gossip, to have a bad day. I ain't throwing no fit in front of the body of Christ because my life is a living epistle and I'm here for something to follow. I'm not here needy. I'm here in integrity and in honor because people are looking at people's lives. And all you need to do is start giving them a reason to be better, to rise higher, to believe more. Or you fuel that other thing. And you say, well, sister so-and-so, well, brother so-and-so, well, look what he did. Well, he ain't perfect either. And see, well, if he did that, and he's been saved longer than me. And all of a sudden, in their weak moment, they're looking at that testimony, and that thing's empowering them down the wrong road. You okay with this? This is what came in my heart in worship to preach this morning. It just took me a while to get here. I like the gospel. Preach it all the time, man. Preach it to every creature. If I didn't have you in front of me, I'd pass by a tree. I'd preach to the tree. You're amazing. Look at you. You were made by God. You ought to wave them branches and worship Him, man. Now watch this. And we desire that each of you have the same diligence, each one of you. Who's he talking to? Come on, don't opt yourself out and say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. What does that have to do with integrity? What does that have to do with character? What does that have to do with surrender, laying down your life and following Jesus? I understand we have trials and challenges. I understand sometimes everything's going crazy at once. But what does that have to do with the truth about Christ in you and the potential of your life? Why do we have to let the things around us define us instead of the one that's in us? Come on! Man, we desire that each one of you, guys, he's talking to you and he's talking to me. Now here's what I've learned. I'm the steward of my heart and you're the steward of yours. I'm not the steward of yours and you're not the steward of mine. Only you know you and only me really knows me. You know me as much as you see me, experience me, and are around me. But I really know me. And you really know you. And it's important that you keep your conscience clear and tender before God so that when you look in the mirror, you always see what He has always seen. Because if you don't keep your conscience clear and look in the mirror, you'll see what you don't want to see. And then it'll put a veil over you and estrange you from Him instead of attracting Him. And all of a sudden you'll be living under condemnation instead of love and grace. Come on, do yourself a big favor and be a good friend to yourself. And realize your life matters. Your testimony matters. Your actions matter. Your attitudes matter. You guys that are in the redemption houses, how many people are staying in them houses and coming under the love and care of Tracy and David and Tracy? How many? Let me see your hands. Now watch this. Watch this, guys. This is awesome. Thanks for raising your hands. I got you. So I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to everybody because you got jobs. You got families. Watch this. You come into these houses and thank God for the grace, the honor, and the love that would even care about you enough to even put whatever it takes to have the house. So all that's a given. You got to see that and not expect anything and demand anything. We ought to be humble and say, man, there's a true love out there. There's people making something possible that otherwise wouldn't be possible. True? Okay, now watch this. So don't you just go in there to stop using or to get off the streets or to have a little safe haven for a while. You go in there and realize that if these people see that kind of value in you, that you must have value or they're whacked and deceived and you shouldn't even be with them.
I thought about that.
Come on. Listen. If they're doing what they're doing, they have to know something about you too. I bet they're in on something. I bet they see what God has always seen. Because if you didn't have value, what's Jesus doing dying on a cross? Somebody needs to set him straight. What's he doing dying on a cross if you don't have value, if you don't have purpose, if you don't have destiny? Well, you think he just died for you because you're a wretched sinner? He died because something was lost in the beginning. It was your created value, your heritage, your destiny, your legacy. So he became the lie so we could walk again in the truth.
Amen. Amen.
So listen, if you're staying in one of these houses, man, your attitude matters to the people around you. Don't you fuel some false fire. Don't you add fire to fire when it's not the fire of God, man. You overcome evil with good. You tone down a harsh word with a kind word. Here's the deal. Your life matters so much and God is counting on, I can back this up. God is counting on your testimony and the influence of your life in others for the good. And the reason I can back that up, because he said through you, he wants to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere. And that to God, you are the fragrance of Christ. You can't afford. Can I talk to you plain? Can I talk to you? This is what felt like a father to me and me. Watch this. I'm just talking like a dad now, and I don't usually qualify that. You can't afford to let yourself have permission to feel sorry for yourself. You can't say, woe is me. You have to rejoice in what's true, and it's Christ came and died and rose from the dead and now lives inside of me. That's where you have to stay. That's where you have to stand, and that's where you have to live your whole life. Because if you're not careful, you'll let what people don't see determine what you do see.
Come on. Oh.
You've got to keep your eyes on Him. Now listen, if you're in one of these houses, if you have a job, if you're in a family, your life matters so much. Because you're a living testimony and a living epistle written on the hearts of men. Whether you're living for Him or not, you're influential. You can either become a reason for somebody's change, in their life change, or an excuse. You can get mad at somebody in their most weakest moment. You can say, well, I'm just tired of you. Well, I'm just mad at you. Watch this. If Miss Tracy would just fall apart and say, I'm just so mad at you. We invested our whole lives into you, and you just do this again and again and again. Well, just go out there and use it. And you know you'll be using it in 3 hours anyway. You'd probably be selling your body. You'd probably be just... Well, when they go out there crying and they're trying to, and inside they got investment and they got this war going on, and all of a sudden all I can hear is, well, you're going to do it anyway. Well, this is, and all of a sudden they just yield and say, and I'm not saying it would be Tracy's fault, but what I'm saying is, on the other hand, Tracy has the ability by God to produce life, to sow life, to believe life, and to reap life. And tell a person why that ain't them and why they don't have to do that. You get what I'm saying? Or that person gets out there and in that whirlwind and rat race of drug life and drug use and all these voices and all these emotions. And all of a sudden they say, well, even Miss Tracy gave up on me. Well, she said I was going to use. I might as well just not make her a liar. That's how things go down, man. Who's ever been in that thing? And all of a sudden you took what somebody said and you allowed that to empower you to do what you knew wasn't right. Who's ever been there? Now watch this. We can sow the total opposite in people. Look, I went to pick my buddy Todd up at a rehab center. And I'm not busting on the rehab center. Sometimes you work with people, you love people, you invest in people. You guys would understand this. And all of a sudden they just say, and they're leaving, and they had a dream from God, and they'll never be the same. And you think they saw a devil in their sleep. That's what you think. But on the flip side, I went up there because he was only in the program 2 months. I went up to get him because he called me and I said, hey, listen. He said, listen, he told me all about the dream. I said, just quiet your heart a minute. I said, get quiet. You tell me on this phone, is this God? You believe with all your heart this is God? He said, Dan, it's God. It's not even a question. I said, I'll come to get you. I'll be up soon. When I got there, they didn't understand because they've seen so many trauma stories. They've seen people leave and die on the streets, man. This thing is real. They'd pour into people and have hope for people, and they'd bolt the program and they'd overdose in 2 weeks. And it's real. So all they could see is, you're making a big mistake and you're going to be using in no time. But they were telling him that. They were like, man, you're deceived. You didn't have no dream from God. The devil does this to people all the time. You're deceiving because you're antsy and you're going to be using in no time. And when I came up there to get him, I felt the negativity, I felt the oppression, and it's because they really cared about him. But they cared so much that they didn't realize they were setting a total opposite example of what they were empowered to set. So I pulled him in this little circle trying to be Mr. Encourager, you know, and I said, let's just pray. So we got in our little circle and I lifted up my voice, Father, I thank you. And as soon as I was done praying, I said, just thanks for everything invested in Todd's life, all the sacrifice, just thank you, God. And we're just believing good things. And when I said amen, the leader said, can I see you in my office? And I said, yes, sir. I said, whoa. I mean, he was stern. He pulled me in the office. He shut his door tight. He looked at me. It was like I was in with a basic training sergeant or something. He said, Pastor, do you have any understanding of addiction? What do you even know about addiction? Do you know anything about addiction? And I'm like, I said, well, no, sir, probably not even a fraction of what you know. But in all due respect, I know a little bit about Jesus. And I know that Jesus would never tell a man why he has to fail. Here's what he said to me. He said, you're enabling him. You shouldn't even came to get him. This man is deceived. You don't know nothing about addictions. And he was like, really talking me down. And I'm like, the only reason I came to get him is because I knew he'd find a ride somewhere. I'd rather it be me because all I have to give him is truth and life. I'm just going to tell him why he doesn't have to go back to that and why he doesn't have to fail. And even if he is being driven out, and even if he had a demonic dream, he doesn't have to believe it. He can go and be free. And when I said that, the leader just burst into tears because that was a real humble thing that came out of me.
I just said, well, sir, in all due respect, I probably don't know much about addiction in light of what you thought, but I didn't know one thing about you. And when I said that, he cried and said he's become a pessimist because he's watched so much pain. And now he puts everybody in a category. I said, sir, that's the problem. You're called to speak life and encourage and give every reason to win. I said, if that young man gets out on the street and he starts being tested and tried, and all he hears is his leaders telling him, you'll never make it, you're going to use again, then he just cheaply and easily says, oh, what the bleep. Now watch. I don't ever want to be that in a person's life if I'm anointed to be the opposite. I'm commissioning you all as a family. I don't want you in a family for what the family can do for you, but what you can do for the family. I want you in this family for how your life can set an example so that people look at you and say, whoa, not because you worked for a reputation or need one, but all of a sudden they have one for you and you have a good name in their sight. And all of a sudden they say, well, sister so-and-so would never say that. Man, I remember when so-and-so was in that situation and brothers, he didn't even. And oh man, I'm going to glean from that and learn because that was God. And look how it worked out. Man, thanks for all these examples in my life. The last thing we need is this a bunch of complaining around us and a fit? And you see what I'm saying? There's a reason I'm saying this. Watch this. That each one of you show the same diligence and full assurance of hope till the end, that you do not become sluggish. Means lazy. That's what it means. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, isn't this funny when we read that? We always think we're supposed to look for those folks and imitate them. Why can't you be the ones that he's talking about with the faith and patience? We see ourselves as followers all the time of one another. Why don't we just see ourselves as following him and then glean from one another all along the way? Look, he's not just saying you're the one that has to follow and imitate. Wonder if you hear, man, I can be one of those people that they're following and imitating. I can be an example. I can be a big brother. I can be a big sister. I can be a woman of wisdom. I can be a man of God. I can mark hearts with testimony. I can be an encouragement and strength in everybody because of the way God is living his life through me. If, you guys with me? Okay, check this out. It's really cool, and I'm almost done. I know it gets late around here. You guys are all about going long, though, ain't you? Let's do this. Let's do Philippians 3 real quick, and then I'm going to wrap this up. We're going to pray, okay? Now listen, this weekend I really ministered a lot of word, and I poured out a lot of truth. I didn't do a lot of ministry, a whole lot of stuff like that. Sometimes God's just speaking to us. Sometimes don't underestimate the power of truth and the impartation of truth. Because it's not even ministry that makes you free. It's truth that makes you free. Amen. And we think we need prayer for everything. I think we need truth. Prayer's a help and prayer's scriptural and prayer's in your Bible and prayer's important. Man, we've been prayer-driven, man, in the sense of like ministry craze sometimes. And we think everything is about pray for me, pray for me. No, it's about communion with God and casting down every lie with truth and holding everything that's not God captive by who he is. Okay, the war is really here. Y'all learned that, right? Man. So if you don't fill your heart with truth, how will you defend against a lie? You'll just need prayer a lot. And prayer won't really change things. You'll just need prayer more because you don't have anything to defend with. You guys follow me? You can just pray for somebody and pray for somebody and pray for somebody, but if they're just thinking the same, they're still going to be the same. And then you might even take a person and wonder why your prayers aren't effective. Well, maybe we need to even mature as counselors and ministers and realize it's not always about grabbing somebody and praying with them. Sometimes you need to give them some insight, some direction, and some counsel. I had a young man ask me for prayer yesterday, and I said, really? I said, listen, man, that's not even a prayer issue. I'll explain. I said, ain't nothing about praying for you right now. I talked to him and he went, wow, I get that. Whoa, yeah, I see that. And he was excited and hugged me. That was awesome. If I'd have prayed for him, he might have felt spiritual. He might even felt fuzzy. I don't know. He might have said, whoa, did like Tracy. Oh. Might have. He might. Oh.
Did I get it right?
Okay. Philippians 3.
Come on, this is really good. Get there. Good. Something's happening. Ho! No, come on now. Stop. I'm sorry. I'm telling you to stop. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. Okay, you know where Paul says in verse 12, not that I've already attained? Man, he says, not that I've already attained. He's talking about, man, it's so good. How do you just jump in? God help me. Okay, verse 10, that I may know him. Do you hear Paul's cry?
Well, it seems like Paul did know him.
Wouldn't you say that Paul had a greater revelation than anybody you read of that was written in the Bible? Jesus himself revealed himself to him personally. Man, he knew stuff and wrote stuff that the disciples experienced and knew and wrote. And he got it from Jesus. He got the whole Last Supper thing from the Lord. He didn't copy it out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He got it from the Lord. That's powerful. But still his heart cry is what? That I might know him. You know, people use things all the time. They say, well, Paul knew the Lord, and he had to let Trophus along the road on the way to Miletus, and he had to tell Timothy to drink a little wine for his frequent infirmities. If God wanted to heal, why didn't he heal? Because Paul probably prayed. Why didn't Paul just heal him? Well, nobody talks about Paul crying out saying that I might know him. There's some things in your life you don't see that you know are scriptural. There's things in your Bible you see that can happen that don't happen. Is it that we need to change the word every time it don't happen or grow up into him? We spend a lot of time changing the word to fit our experience. We've wrote a lot of things to try to help our troubled hearts. Unfortunately, what we've written and preached is at the cost of truth, and truth makes us free. So nobody preaches that about Paul. See, Paul's not the standard. Jesus is. We're not following Paul. We're only following him as he follows Christ. So if you don't see something in Paul's life, why do we make that the standard? Because you do see it in Jesus' life. So who are we following, Paul or Jesus? But we're only following Paul as he follows Christ. So just because he had to leave a sick fellow along the road and didn't get healed, why do we use that as a fight against a healing doctrine? That doesn't even make sense to me. That is just a lack of learning and understanding. That's presumption to me. That's like a haughty and proud mind speaking out of turn. I'm being real. Because you don't even realize that maybe that's why Paul's saying that I might know him, because the things I'm writing about, I'm not even seeing completely in my life. But I know they're possible, or they wouldn't have been inspired by God and written. Oh, that I might know him. You ever pray for somebody that was really hurting and didn't see it go away? And did you ever get that thing in you wishing so bad you could just touch him and that thing would just go away? And that thing should lead you to a place where you get alone with God and stop saying, well, they just need to get more faith. Well, they probably got unforgiveness. Well, it's probably a generation of cares. Cut me a break. Did it ever get you to that place where it gets you alone and you start thinking about yourself and growing and maturing in God? I know if you would touch him, man, things would change. I touched him. I represent you. You're in me. I'm not condemned. I'm hungry. I'm seeking you more. Would you just grow me up and mature me? And if there's anything keeping the flow of who you are flowing through me, man, burn it in me, work it in me, flow it through me. But have your way in people, God. You paid a price for redemption, restoration, healing. Let it flow through my life. All of a sudden you're laying on your bed weeping, just, I want you more, God. Thank you for what you're building me in. That's the same as Paul, that I might know him. Isn't that what he's doing? Come on. That I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Why? Because there's a couple times he's telling the boy, hey, this ain't quite happening. We ain't seeing it. So for now, drink a little wine. We're going to have to keep you along the road, but we can't take you with us because you ain't feeling better. I wish you were. I wish, man. Oh, God. You ever been there in your faith? I know I've been there. It's not in a frustrated way. It's a hunger way, a seeking way. It's humility. It's taking all your feelings and opinions and surrendering them to the life of Jesus and the doctrine of God. If he's exalted and magnified his word above his name, then we ought to magnify his word above how we feel in the moment. Not rewrite it. The book's already written. We have books out there in Christian bookstores, 30 reasons why men aren't healed. The only reason we wrote the book is because it answers our experience. Jesus didn't have the manual in his back pocket. They do so much damage because if you just believe one of the 30, you put a ceiling over the release of the kingdom in your life. And the experience makes the thing make sense, but when you look at the life of Jesus, you can't find it, so why That's do we right. believe it? Just saying. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained. Do you hear the humility and the hunger in him? Watch, I'm taking you somewhere. Or am already perfected, but I press on. Watch, this is powerful. I press on that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me. That means Paul realized that Jesus had intent in laying a hold of him, obtaining him, drawing him. He's realizing it's not just to go to heaven or it's already attained. He's saying, I'm pressing on so that I arrive to the very place and fulfill the very reason that he obtained me. Do you hear the purpose? That there's purpose in Jesus' heart? Now watch this. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, this is huge, one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me. That's anything he could gain from the flesh, his heritage, born into the whole Pharisee thing. He went through that in the chapter. If you read it in context, he's really talking about that. But he's also talking about anything. You can make that thing fit. He forgets what lies be. Remember Lot's wife? She's delivered from here, heading to here, wherever that is. Looks back and is stuck between the two. She's not here anymore, but she's looking there, and it keeps her from ever getting there. Frozen right there. And Jesus talked about that, and he said, remember Lot's wife. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. He didn't say the three things I do. He said the one thing. So it must be you. He didn't say the three things. He didn't say the two. He said there's one thing I'm sure to do. Forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, he's talking about Christ-likeness, a life surrendered, submitted, following Jesus, death, even on a cross if need be, but death to myself and alive unto God. So he's talking about a living epistle, a living testimony, not loving his own life and not counting his own life dear so he can fulfill the will of him who enlisted him. That's Acts 21. It's there. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have the same mind and think the same way. Watch. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will even reveal this to you. He's making this thing paramount. This is the only way to think. That's what he's saying. Now watch. Nevertheless, you say, well, I'm not mature. I'm just young in the Lord. Watch. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained or arrived, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Now watch, brethren, and this is what you're all called to be. Join in following my example and note those around you who so walk this way as you have us for a pattern to follow. Today I feel like the Spirit of God doesn't want you to see yourself as a follower, but a pattern setter. And I believe that your attitudes, your opinions, your responses, your reactions to things matter so much to God that today he would let me take all this time to talk, to just impart this conviction, to show you how much your individual life matters so much to the people around you. I'm going to close with this one, and it's the clincher, and we're done. And I'll be done, and I know I took long, and I apologize. But, you know, yeah, you guys worship forever and all that stuff, so you guys... so good. What did I tell you when we came? I said, these guys are amazing. They are totally off the hook. And when you guys started getting rolling, I said, they're winding up. And I love it. I just love it. We ought to celebrate, huh? Yeah, and then you even playing, there's a party going on right here. Celebration. It's going to last throughout the year, huh? Many more. Let me just read. You, therefore, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You want to go there quick with me if you can? If you don't have a Bible, just listen carefully. Man, I want you to see this. This grabbed me years ago, about 2 years ago, and I preached it a handful of times. But it's what I'm going to end with. It's in my heart. But this whole, do you guys follow where I'm going with this today? Your life matters to everybody around you. But if you're thinking for yourself, you won't regard that. You'll just think for yourself and you go with the feeling in the moment. And all of a sudden, you could be in the house and think of nothing of just having an attitude. You could just think nothing of just complaining or saying to a fellow person that's in the house and just speaking down, Pastor David. Or just saying, you know, I don't know about this place, man. I don't know. No, see, it's such a detriment to your own soul and to everything that we're pursuing and to the people around you. You want to set the highest example. You have a privilege of leaving a testimony in the hearts of men. Amen. So that when they hear your name, they think something and see something and it looks like Him.
You get it?
A good name is to be treasured more than any gold or silver. A good name. I have a good name in my hometown.
Makes me feel good.
When people think of me, they think of consistency and they know where I'm coming from and they know what they're going to get. People don't call me for 6-7 years. I haven't even seen them and they call me out of the blue knowing what they're going to get.
Amen.
People run from me for years because if you ain't serious about serving God, I'm the last person you want to be with. I'm serious. I've learned it. People avoid me like the plague if they're playing games. If they ain't sincere, it's hard to be around me every day. Because my life's too convicted. So you either run to me or run from me. And that's not because I'm a condemner or a legalist. I'll love you and love you, but my life's too convicting to just hang around if you're not serious. But what I've found is when they get serious, I'm the first person they call. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I had a man call me one day about his wife over and over. And I would just talk to him because he was on the phone, not his wife. It wasn't no three-way. It was just him. And he just was looking for Pastor Dan, power play my name. Pastor Dan to just say, man, I can't believe she did that. Or, well, she shouldn't. And then he'd have went to her and said, well, I called Pastor Dan. And he said, you shouldn't be. See, you're wrong. You need to repent. And all I did was tell him who Christ is in him. And his response, and it's all I ever gave him. And one day he freaked out on me, screaming because he was hurt, felt abused, and he felt unsupported by me. And he said, why is it me? Why is it always about me changing? Why is it never about her? Why is it always me? Why has it got to be about me changing and me doing right, me loving and me forgiving? Why ain't it ever about her doing? And it came right out of me with passion because it is always going to be about you because one day you'll stand before Him and answer for you, not her. And it'll be a sad day in the presence of God if you look into His fiery eyes of love and think you're going to say, oh my God, I'd have believed in you if it wasn't for her.
Oh.
I said, it's always about you because it's always about Christ in you. So take responsibility for the truth He's invested in you. Stop being hurt, living for yourself and expecting her to change. Stop being a product of what she you feel is doing wrong and you be a product of what Christ has done right. Come on, man. And He hated me for saying that because He needed me in weakness to agree with. So he went off for 2 years and disappeared. Found a girl to live with. Boy, that helped a lot. It just showed where his heart really was.
Right.
And 2 years in, He woke up one morning, hasn't even thought about God. God is so humble and loving. Hasn't even thought about God. And God is hovering over him in the bed when he opens his eyes. He says, "What are you doing here, son? I love you. You're more than this." And he went, there was more than a hoe. He said he fell off the bed onto the floor and cried and cried and cried and cried. He said he got up off the floor on his knees. He was bawling. He called the girl and repented and said, "I've sinned. I've put you into a situation. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I need to get my life together." And then guess what? The first thing after that came on his mind. He thought of me. He come running to the church. Hadn't seen him for 2 years. He told me every time he heard my name, he wanted to choke me. He said his blood would boil because I didn't agree with him in his deepest need. It's because I love him way too much. Amen. And I won't compromise truth for surface plastic friendship.
Amen.
Man. Yeah. He came running in the office crying and crying. I seen him coming. I went, whoa. He come right in my office. I don't even think he knocked. He just grabbed me and held me and bawled. Said, "I'm sorry. Thanks for your integrity and the wisdom of your counsel. Thanks for not agreeing with me in my hour of weakness. I honor you." 2 years of hating me was worth that hug in that minute. Because I didn't even know he was hating me, and it wasn't about that. It's what I'm saying is, you don't ever compromise, because God has a bigger picture than what it seems. You better have a bigger vision than just making people happy. Because if people were running with you, they wouldn't be so quick to not be happy. They deal with their attitude and emotion. And even if they didn't agree, it wouldn't cost you relationship.
Come on.
So when it costs you relationship, they says if they go out from among us, it's because they weren't with us.
Yes. Wow.
That doesn't mean you get hard and cut people. Hey, they ain't going with us. That ain't what he's talking about. Are you guys all right?
Yeah.
You're wondering if I am, ain't you? Because I can't get finished. "If you therefore, my son, you therefore, Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men." Why can't you be one of those faithful men? Come on. Why can't you be one of them faithful women? We don't just attend this church, we are the church. And God is looking for faithful men, and he wants Timothy to commit to faithful men. Why does he have to search for them? Come on. You can be that faithful man. You can say, "Man, it don't matter where I came from, what I've just done. It matters where my heart's positioned today, and I ain't looking back. There ain't no return. God is going to reveal himself to me and through me, and this thing is changing." And all of a sudden, you can live in a testimony. And watch this. The next 6 months of your life can so blow away the last 6 years that men are so touched by the last 6 months, they don't even remember the last 6 years. So watch this. "You therefore must endure." Did you hear what he said? Do you think he's just talking to Timothy? Do you think we're all allowed to not endure and that's just Timothy because he's in leadership? Hey, Paul was talking to Timothy. No. "You must endure hardship as a good soldier." Watch. No one, now he's talking to us. No one engaged in warfare. See, I don't think we see it like that.
Right.
I think we think we're in this for blessing or something.
Tell it.
We're not in this for what God can do for us. If you're a Christian for you, you're in big trouble. You're a Christian for his name's sake. You're a Christian for the world around you. "No one engaged in war entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
And if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Hardworking farmers, the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in these things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Do you hear how selfless he is? He's chained and prisoned for what he believes, and what he's excited about is you can't chain the word. He's not saying, God, why are you letting these chains? Oh, I thought you were going to watch my back. Now watch. Now this is what I want you to see. This is such a blow away to me. I hope we get it. Wow. He says, therefore, I endure all things. You think he gets spiritual and say, for Jesus' sake. No. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, the people.
Come on.
He says, I'm going to live my life this way because it matters. What they see matters. What I interpret to them matters. What they get out of my life matters, because I'm a living epistle. I'm a testimony of Christ. I'm just not another member at Redemption House. I am a man of God, and my life matters. And I endure all things for the sake of the people, because they're watching and they need to see the truth, and they're going to see it in me. That's your calling. You get it? Stand to your feet with me, please. Come on. And give him praise right now. And just thank him that this is an honorable call. I'm not talking about just hyping this atmosphere. You give him thanks right now that he believes this about you. That he would open this door to you. He opened this door to you. Come on, I've been saying it all day. That sure beats issues and being offended. Where did that get us? Come on, you guys ready to live this life? Your life matters so much. Doesn't it? Your life matters so much, man. Every one of you. Listen, we all got backgrounds. Some of us seem worse than others. Our backgrounds more horrendous, more tragic, more traumatic. But I'm telling you, watch this. And I'm not saying in an insensitive way, it don't matter where you came from and what happened to you. What I'm saying is, now that Christ came, the purpose of God in sending his son is to make those things small in the sight of the truth. You get what I'm saying? Because the real you is found in him. Do you get this? So come on, you want this life? Lift your hands to him. Come on. And just thank God for grace to live this way. Now this is where you come in. We're always waiting for somebody to minister, but this is where you come in and you get real before God. And you tell him, I want this grace. I want to be an example. You tell him this. Don't be afraid to tell him. Just say, I'm done complaining. I'm done thinking for me. I'm done living selfish. Holy Spirit, teach me your way. I'm done, man. I'm done being weak. I'm done. I'm done living for less than truth. I'm going after you, God, and I ain't playing. This is an honor. Let me see it as an honor. Let me see it as an honor. Don't let my heart be found hard. Don't let me be trained by religion. I want to know you, and I want to make you known. I don't want to find my identity through what I do in the church. I want to find my identity through what you've done in me. Come on. Grace, come all through this house. Empower this church to be a living testimony of the finished work of Christ. Let the people I'm looking at influence this region. Let the people I'm looking at, God, touch people on the jobs and within their spheres of influence, God. In fact, oh my goodness, let some of these people find themselves back into that same place they were delivered from and find their lives delivering others that thought they could never go free. God, I'm asking it in Jesus' name. I'm asking it in Jesus' name. That you would lock us in this thing so real and so changed that we're afraid of nothing, God. I'm not talking about just hanging out in bars because we're lonely, but not being afraid to walk in there and sitting beside the guy we used to drink with and say, hey man, how you've been? And absolutely be anointed and have authority and have power.
How many of you in this room have come from such a drug circle, a drink and a party, and there's people out there that you actually think about and wonder how they're doing or if they're ever going to make it, and you honestly think about them and you've thought about the capacity of maybe somehow reaching them? Who? Run up here if that was you. Don't run up here if that wasn't you. Just run up here if that stuff has crossed your mind. This is big. It just came in my heart. Come on, man. Don't think you're just saved to be saved. You're saved to minister salvation. And I believe that God doesn't want you to fear that thing in which He delivered you from. And I'm not talking about just foolishness and going and hanging out in the middle of a pop party. What I'm saying is you getting so set free and so filled with God and so understanding who you're called to be that your life becomes influential. And the people you really care about, all of a sudden, instead of them being like, oh, they were this, they were that. Oh my goodness, they have value and destiny. And the same thing God's working in me, He wants to work in them. They're just as important as anyone. And all of a sudden, He gives you the anointing and the grace to have encounters, bump into these folks, and meet these folks, and have authority to bring change in their lives. Yes. Would you like that?
Yes. Yes.
Would you like that? Yes. Would that be even better than you being saved?
Yes.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
Wouldn't it? Okay, I heard this, and I feel like God wants us to really get the point by just coming up and gathering us all. I'm going to pray over you, and I believe the Spirit of God is going to release the grace to empower us to so live this way and our conscience to get so clear, not presumption, a true confidence where we know Him and we are sure of what He's done in our lives. So when we look into their eyes, there's conviction. When we talk to them, it's coming from a place of truth, just not doctrine. A place that we know, a place that we've tasted, a place that we live. Okay?
Yes.
Who honestly here can say you've cared about people, you've thought about people and wondered how this person is, or man, I wonder if they're even alive, right?
Yes.
So God, lift your hands to heaven. Father, right now we just present all them people before You as we present ourselves before You. Father, this is not just about us being free. This is certainly not just about us never using again. This is about our lives being transformed. And this is about transformation coming to others. You said that we diffuse the fragrance of Your knowledge in every place and that to You we are the fragrance of Christ. So Father, I thank You for the empowerment and the anointing of God upon our lives that makes us fearless, that makes us strong in the Lord, God, that makes us no longer vulnerable. No longer vulnerable. Man, we're not running from anything because we ran to You. And we just thank You, God, right now for an impartation of wisdom, of words, of ministry through our lives into those, God, that need rescued and set free. Now, I'm asking You this, God, openly and publicly.